welcome to this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective podcast, where we talk about topics and resources that help you lead more to reach more. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. And welcome to another episode of the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. My name's Tom Bump, and I'm your host. Thanks for joining me, my friends. I am super excited about this episode, where we're going to be diving into the topic of how we can partner with parents to help prevent or recover from digital addiction. There are lots of kids struggling with digital technology today, and their parents are struggling with, how soon do I give kids technology? How often should I manage it? And what should I do if I sense my children are crossing a line? So we're going to be diving into that with a great expert, Dr. Scott Transky from National Center for Biblical Parenting, in just a moment. But before we do, let me talk about our podcast episode sponsor, and that is KidMinPlus.net. If you haven't heard of KidMinPlus.net, you need to hear about it. It is the community that you need and that needs you. This is a higher level community for leaders who want to grow deeper as a leader, to grow wider, to grow more innovative, to connect with other leaders in a way that just isn't happening in any other place. We want to help leaders grow healthy leadership, healthy teams, and healthy ministries that will impact your community. And if you're interested in this, it's a monthly membership, $15 a month, keeps you in the membership where you can have live weekly meetups. There's great tools that you can download and use. There's training that, again, will help you on healthy leaders, healthy teams, and healthy ministries. This group is growing, and it's adding more and more to it as we go. You can actually help build it as part of the KidMin community. And so if you're interested in growing your leadership in this next year, I highly recommend you check it out. In fact, right now, you can, before May 1st of 2024, get a 14-day free trial, or you can email me at tom@tombump.net or .com, and you can get request a 14-day trial just by mentioning that you heard it on the Kid Ministry Collective podcast, or just say, I heard about KidMin Plus on the KMC, and I would like a 14-day trial. I would be happy to extend that offer to you as a podcast listener. So I'm super excited about this episode. Stay tuned, and we're going to dive right into the conversation with Dr. Scott Transky. And I'm super excited to welcome back to the Kid Ministry Collective podcast my good friend, Dr. Scott Transky. He's the founder of the National Center for Biblical Parenting, which has all sorts of resources and training and lots of things to help give parents some solid strategies for working with their children, but not just parents. I use this stuff in my own children's ministry. There's techniques of training a child's heart that I have used and I trained my volunteers to use, and I found them to be very, very powerful. And I love the workshops and things that they have available. So you need to check out the National Center for Biblical Parenting. I'm going to put a link in the show notes. And I know that you're going to find this resource that we're talking about in this episode, you're going to find very powerful, but you're also going to find some of the other resources that they have much needed for your ministry and for your families and parents, especially. So welcome back, Scott, to the Kid Ministry Collective.
Tom, thanks for having me on. I appreciate your ministry, what you do, and we've known each other for a long time. So it's great to be back with you.
Yeah, well, we have, and I've been fortunate to go through your presenters training and coaches training, and I love this stuff. I've used it with my own kids, and but like I said, I've used it with, I train my teens and my volunteers to use these techniques and strategies when they're managing kids in their small groups and Sunday school classes. So this is really great, but I really am excited about this new resource of technology wellness at home. This new course that's coming out in May of 2024 is really, really good stuff. I think it's needed. I have not seen very many resources out there like this. And so I'm super excited to share this with the listeners. Now, we always start off our episodes with a why question and kind of want to set yours up like this, that you've got this new resource, again, called Technology Wellness at Home. And it's all about preventing and addressing electronics addiction in children and students. you've got these resources available. And I've seen parents ask the question, should my children have electronics and all those kind of things? And parents are starting to be aware that there are dangers to giving electronics at young kids. But why do you think this is just now becoming more of an issue?
Well, technology has just grown in our lives and it needs some kind of management. Parents are seeing more anxiety, anger, disappointment is the big one. And we measure emotional health in children in our ministry as we are doing the coaching program. And disappointment is so high in children's lives. I don't get what I want. And that, why is it that they get so upset? Because they're used to the constant rewards that they get when they're on electronics. There's likes, or there's going to the next level, or there's bonus points that they get, or just all kinds of instant gratification takes place with electronics. So it contributes to some of the emotional disruption that children experience. I think it's the negative things that draw us into, hey, we got to do something about it. But there's a whole healthy way that we need to be able to deal with electronics. I mean, it's relationships are accessible through electronics, that we can find information quickly and use that information. But we need to realize that cell phones are a servant, not a master, and that we need to turn them off at times, because there's a whole unhealthy way of looking at electronics. I've defined electronics addiction as the physical and psychological or spiritual dependence on devices. So you just got to get, and I can't get away from it. And if I try to disengage, I feel upset. And so, yeah, we're trying to balance this healthy versus unhealthy use of electronics to help children to be able to move forward strategically.
That is really good. So before we dive too far into the questions, give us a little bit of an overview of this resource so that people kind of, we're going to dive into some deeper parts, but give us a general overview of what this training is all about.
Okay, this is an 8-part video course, and it's designed for two audiences. One, it's designed for parents so that parents have access to all the information that's contained in it. Secondly, it's designed for church leaders to use in a small group environment in a parenting setting. So you say, hey, we're going to have a small group. We're going to talk about technology wellness at home or electronics addiction. And parents kind of flock to that and they go, yeah, I want to talk about it. So it's 8 videos. And then there is a manual that contains all kinds of handouts and stuff. So you have the notes people will take while they're watching the videos. Then you have discussion questions for them to break up into small groups so that they can talk about this, because not every family is the same. Some children can have more electronics than others. And just a dialogue about the way we set that up in our family is important. So there's that dialogue that takes place. And there's take-home sheets that people can take and they can use as they're trying to figure out how to manage this. So it's designed in both of those arenas. So we can either use it in the church, we can use it in the home, but in both cases, our end users are the children. They're the ones we're trying to reach so that they can have some healthy use of electronics in their lives and not get sucked into all the negative side. There's a whole negative side to electronics that creates a problem for children. We want them to have the positive side without the negative side, and we can help parents know how to do that.
Yeah. So as you're looking at today's kids, what are some of the problems or the challenges that kids are facing when it comes to do this? And for parents, the struggle of giving them at a young age, what are you seeing as some of the challenges there?
It's interesting. It's different at each age, and the way preschoolers handle electronics is different than elementary or teens. But often we'll see things in the lives of kids that's a problem. We'll see that some kids are continually tired or sleep deprived, or they're maintaining poor sleep habits because they sleep with their phone or they have their computer there and they stay up late at night. Or some kids are texting in the middle of the night, just waiting for the next text and kind of sleeping on and off. So it's hard for them to do that. Other kids have a negative attitude when interrupted or they're away from electronics. And we know that electronics addiction is present when there's this protection of my electronics time. I've got to have this. And there's this pattern of hostility and anger that a child has if you try to stop or take away these things. Sometimes we see children isolating and they're not then involved in family or service or even school not doing well in that. Other times children have anxiety issues. I mean, I, as you know, we counsel with families and we coach families at the National Center for Biblical Parenting, and we see a heightened anxiety today because kids are on Facebook and trying to see how many likes they get, or they're on Snapchat and they better get it before it disappears. And so there's this anxiety or worry about friends or popularity or acceptance. There's sadness and despair that children feel sometimes because they're just not connected in the same way. Mm. But mainly what we see is this obsessive nature toward electronics. It's a real indication for us that we've got a challenge here. We've got a problem that needs to be addressed. And parents, their biggest cue is this. They feel uncomfortable with what they're seeing. They don't know quite how to do what to do with it all, but they feel right. uncomfortable. And that is a God-given radar that says, something's wrong here. I need to do something about it.
Yeah. So as leaders, as parents, what are some of the things that we could recognize when, you know, it's moving into that unhealthy, almost, well, or the addiction? What does that look like in kids today? How do we recognize that? I mean, there's a lot of challenges that kids have that come to us in our, on Sundays with. How do we recognize it? But also, how do we help parents recognize what addiction, what does that look like?
Well, a lot of times children, we'll see it in emotions. That's the biggest clue for us, that we'll see heightened anger. When children have anger that's greater than the situation warrants, or they have anger episodes more often, and it's often centered around getting chores done or schoolwork done, we ask the question, tell me about electronics in your home. And when we find out that a child has unbridled access to electronics or too much electronics, then we say, maybe there's a connection here that exists between what's happening here and what's going on in life. Now, with really young children, one of the challenges that is that it's very easy to go to electronics. Kids, give me the iPad, you know? And so when they're bored, okay, boredom is a very important feeling for young children. We're talking about preschoolers at this point. It's a very thing that they feel because it's the seedbed for creativity and brain stimulation. But if you have electronics and you just go to electronics when you're bored, then you miss out on that developing creativity. You right. miss out on the exploring your world kind of things. Now, there's some good for electronics. You know, electronics can be a way to learn language or numbers or other things, but often the it can get into the negative side very quickly for young children because they just gravitate so quickly to it and they miss out on these other things of life.
Yeah.
Just say something about children. I think with older kids, often electronics, they don't have any discernment. Electronics don't have manners. They interrupt social experiences like meals, for example. Oh, I got to check my phone. Now, this yep. isn't just for kids, is it?
I was just going to say, it's adults too.
And it makes it difficult. So children need help to manage electronics. I like to say that rarely is there a child that has enough integrity or strength, internal character strength to manage electronics today. They need help from parents. God has designed these parents to be the ones to do the work. Parents just need help to know what that looks like and how to respond to these kids in a way that can help them greatly.
Wow. Yeah, that's good. I do think reading through the workbook that you shared with me, I think parents, this is going to get them. Because they're going to look at themselves. I mean, well, and you know, we talk about this during parent coaching things of there's really training the parent first. And I think the beauty of this is that you're walking through in these 8 sessions some real key strategies for parents to evaluate. I loved the evaluation forms that you sure. put in there, the worksheets, so that parents can really sit and think about how they're doing this and when to introduce it, when not to introduce it, or where to see the red flags. Yeah. But I like how you brought up that this is a character issue too. You know, I know when we're teaching the instruction routine, and some people may not understand what I'm talking about, but I loved how you equated that to not only as a child to learn how to come when called, but as they get older and they get their first job, I loved how you brought that out, that you want a kid, you want your son or daughter to be that employee that the boss knows they can call them and that kid is going to respond. That young person is going to respond. I like how you've approached this, and I like how what you've done is given parents the tools and it's a strategy. So let's talk a little bit about some of the strategies. What are some things that we as ministry leaders can help push towards parents to say, hey, here's some strategies for using electronics with kids or even young people, we'll call them students.
Well, let's go to what you just said. I think it's really important. Our whole ministry is about this. We're using the common things in family, like giving instructions or correcting children or setting limits, in general, just to build inside the qualities that children need to be successful in life. That's what we're going to do with electronics. I think that's what makes my program unique. It's not just, let me show you parents how to set up rules because electronics are really bad for your kids. No, we're saying, let's take electronics and let's use them to build inside of a child the character that they need to be successful in life. If we can do that, great things can happen. So what I'm trying to do is broaden the parenting strategy, the parenting tools that parents can use, and help them see how it's not just about being the bad guy and telling the kids they have to get off the cell phone or the iPad or something, but more than that. We're teaching our children what it means to live within limits. That's a very important thing that kids need to learn. So I think what we're trying to help ministry leaders know is that there are many more tools that parents need that can help them to develop what they need in family life. And that'll help them. I think some parents use electronics as babysitters. You know, if you've got a child, you know, hey, I'm going to cook dinner. Why don't you go ahead and play with the iPad? Well, and I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm saying let's be careful here, because sometimes what we're doing is we're setting kids up with opportunities to be on electronics maybe more than is beneficial for them. And so let's awesome electronics. I think electronics are good. I mean, it's a great, they're good things. Okay. It's a way for kids to communicate with friends sometimes and parents. I encourage parents to use texting and so on to communicate with their kids. I think it's great. I think there's entertainment we can get involved in, whether you're watching Facebook or YouTube or Instagram or Snapchat or whatever. You've got some entertainment that you can watch movies that are there. I think social media is great. You can learn some things about what's going on. You get involved in other people. Video gaming, I think, can be entertaining for kids, you know. But I think that when we there's a way that we cross the line. And when parents can see that the line is being crossed and their child's heart is in danger, and there needs to be some changes that take place. Obviously, it's when children go to inappropriate sites. I mean, we want to protect them from things like pornography. Or we have our kids, a lot of them are shopping, and it's not so much whether they're going to buy these things, but they're looking at the latest trends and styles and fashions that may not be the best way for them to be using their time. I mean, I think kids get sucked into worldliness many times just because they have access to all kinds of stuff that's out there. And the world would love to control our children and set them up for things that are a challenge in their life. So, you know, we're trying to help as ministry leaders, we're helping to equip parents with the things they need to step into this area in a way that's positive and encouraging and building the character that our children need. Mm.
I really like that. And I think as a ministry leader and as somebody who wants to connect with parents, this is a conversation that we can have that shows parents that we care. And picking up and using this resource and using it, like you said, in a small group however, I'm sure you've got other ideas of how they can use it. I'm also curious, what can ministry leaders do to help connect with parents to this and help them understand this isn't something that they should just disregard, that they should, you know, there does need to be some concern. I mean, we know that kids are getting targeted for ads and different ideas. And we know that there are people out there that are not seeking the best interest of children on social media and they're targeting kids. And so parents do have to, I mean, I said at the beginning, you know, some of them are starting to wake up, but I think, you know, ministry leaders have a responsibility to help parents wake up to some of this. So what are some things that you've seen work that you feel would be beneficial for a leader to think about when it comes to approaching this or introducing this to their church?
Sure. I think that if you're talking about sounding the alarm, that's what we're talking about. I think parents, it resonates with parents when you say that electronic addiction increases emotional imbalance. And so parents are seeing kids' emotions that are difficult for them. I think that when parents are seeing that responsibilities that children have are being neglected, or children doing the minimum to get by so they can get back to their electronics, those are some of the warning signs that parents need to know and hear. I mean, just to be able to say that electronics often open up pathways for worldliness to go into a child's heart. Those things resonate with parents. And so we can't just tell them about the problem, though. We got to offer a solution. That's what my material is all about. So I think this course is a valuable course for parents to work on their own. They can just work through it. It's biblical. It's practical. It's focused on the heart of a child. It's positive in that we're trying to move children in a direction towards something, not just away from something. Mm-hmm. It's a great way for us to help parents know where they're going, but then even offering a forum, like a small group where parents can interact. They can watch the videos, 20-minute videos, and then have the discussions about the things that are there, can help parents become more aware, but also can help them to know what solutions they can focus on and how they can move forward in a very positive way. So I think that's going to help a lot with the parenting dynamic.
That's great. So as you're thinking about this and using it for churches, how would you suggest maximizing the impact for this resource? I'm just curious. What are some things that you feel like, if you were setting this up for a church, what would you encourage them to be thinking about?
Well, this is only one area of parenting. Okay, there are lots of areas of parenting, but I think every church needs to have a parent discipleship program. We have 7 video curriculums. This is just the latest one that we've come out with, but we deal with all the kind of basic parenting things from children who are preschoolers all the way through teens to try to help parents know how to reach the hearts of their children. All parents want to reach the hearts of their children. They just don't know how to do it. And so if we can teach parents how to have a better working relationship with their child, then we can reduce the tension and we can increase the closeness. So the idea of electronics is only one piece of a bigger puzzle that we're trying to help parents with. But if we're going to maximize what we do with our children in children's ministry, we got to reach the parents. The parents are key. We've got them for an hour, maybe a couple of hours, course of a week, but parents have them all the time. And so when parents have a lot more time to work with them, they can use the simple things in family life, like electronics or like chores or like homework or whatever it is, to teach some of the character that's necessary in order for these children to be successful. So I think providing here's what I want parents to know. I want parents to know that the church is the place where they can get help for working with their children. Because God has chosen the church to be the solution place where parents can find what they need in order to deal with the challenges that they face. Where are parents going to find solutions? Are they going to go to Google, or they, you know, read a book, or, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there, but the church has a biblical worldview that's going to broaden all of this for parents so they can move forward in some good ways. I think one of the things we do for parents on the church's side is we help parents see this is not just about a preference that you have. I don't like it that my kid's watching this kind of movie, or I don't like it that he plays this video game. Yeah. This isn't about preference. This is about conviction. And so when we tie a person's parenting to their faith, then big things happen in their lives. And parents go, yeah, this is really important. I'm going to do something about this. So it becomes much more powerful in the lives of those parents.
That was so good right there. I mean, as a ministry, again, listening to you share this as a ministry leader, as a parent, how would you not want to make this part of your overall church strategy to say, hey, this is a thing that we need to incorporate, not just this, but yeah, so you've got some fantastic other material that would help parents, because there are a lot of parents that are struggling. I have a lot of parents that I've talked to that are just really feeling overwhelmed. They still have not found a rhythm since the pandemic. You know, they're just, and I can feel it from them. And I feel it from the kids too. I've seen kids struggling more with attention, with focus, honestly, with character. I had some boys that were causing some issues with me in my large group time. I had to keep stopping and talking to them. And I finally pulled them aside and said, "Hey, what's going on? You know, talk to me." And I started going through some questions with them, and I got some understanding of some of the chaos that was going on at home. And there were some definite factors that were causing some of the acting out at church. But what I found interesting was, is that these two could sit there and have that conversation with me and then say, "Okay, we promised to listen better, Mr. Tom." And I'm like, "I've got your word, right? Young men, you know, you're going to be men of honor here, right? You're going to keep your word." "Oh yeah." And then 5 minutes later, I'm stopping and, you know, everything, and about ready to, you know, toss them out the door. You know, just kidding. I wouldn't do that. But I'm seeing these kids struggle like I've not seen in a long time. So I'm curious, what are some things that we as ministry leaders can do? Because again, yeah, we get kids maybe, you know, an hour a week, and it's a challenge. And I know a lot of leaders are struggling with, how do I maintain a group, even as a small group, because these kids are struggling with their focus and attention and all of these kind of things. So could you give us a couple little hacks, tips for helping kids that are struggling in these areas?
Okay, let's talk about character for just a moment, because that's what you're referring to. I mean, character, it's the internal strength to match both the temptations we have inside and the pressures we have outside. And many children don't have the character necessary, the internal integrity, to face the challenges of life. So in the classroom, we can certainly call children to a higher account. We can pinpoint for them exactly what character quality we're working on. I think sometimes we do a lot of correction because we have to do that in the classroom. But we're not just saying stop it. What we want to do is point our children to something different. Yeah. Maturity is the ability to value other people in the classroom, to be able to contribute instead of create tension and draw things down in the classroom. So we have a limited ability to help kids build character. In the classroom, we can point children toward character qualities that they need to develop. You know, one of the things that'd be really helpful in your life, son, is that just working on being focused and attentive. You know, some people have a hard time with that. And if you could just focus for a little bit here on what's going on, that would be a great quality for you. It's going to help you to have what you need in your life. Because those who can focus and hang in there, boy, they can go a lot further in life. Another one is self-control. You know, self-control is so valuable for you in your life. We're talking about these character qualities with kids. I know we got 20 kids. We can't take each one aside, but we do have those ability to make comments. And when we make comments, the words of a Sunday school teacher or a youth worker hit home. And so if we're saying, remember you're working on here. Remember you're working on self-control. That's going to be one of those things that's going to guide you forward. So we're going to try to do that. But again, who's going to help us the most here? It's the parents. If parents can get the training they need, good things can happen. And one whole session of the 8-session videos, one whole session is spent on parenting skills that are required to challenge the overuse of electronics. Parents need to learn how to be firm without being harsh. And they need to be able to not take the emotional antics of the child personally, which is what parents do a lot of times. They need to learn how to set limits confidently. We're going to go right through several skills that parents need in order to match the electronic challenges that their children have so that they're ready for them. So Prepare the Parent is one of our sessions that we want to place so that parents know how they can prepare themselves to come into this particular arena in a child's life.
Yeah, and they're definitely going to need to be prepared. And I think, again, there's a lot of them that just don't know. And they're hurting because they know things are out of balance, and they want that balance back. And again, I think some of the pandemic, you know, we definitely saw that kids were on screens more than they've ever been, and it's had that impact. And so Can you give us a glimpse into what the course teaches about a well-balanced digital life? And what does that look like? And how does that get fostered?
All right. So this is one of the things that makes this program unique, is that we are not only, one thing I've already mentioned, that we're using electronics to build character in children. So it's not just abandon electronics. We're recognizing that that is one key element that parents can do. And so we're equipping parents to do that. A second thing we're doing here is we are providing then parents with this question, because parents are all about electronics when we come to this. How much should I let him have? I don't see some of these symptoms, but he's spending hours in his room. And so we're saying, let's ask a different question. And the question is, what does a well-balanced life look like? That's a whole one of the videos, because the reason we may have our child have limits on electronics, it doesn't have anything to do with emotional challenges they have. Maybe they're handling it emotionally fine, but it's they're missing out on some of these other things. What are the other things? Exercise, face-to-face, personal interaction, contributing to the lives of other people and serving, spiritual development and growth. What makes a balanced person? If children are, their time is being sucked into electronics, then they're missing out on some things. Again, this is what provides parents with this motivation that says, it's not about whether, because parents, children will say, what's wrong with it? It's not about whether what's wrong with it. What it's about is, what are you missing out on? But I don't want to do that. Friends are online. We are going to work on some of these other things because that's what makes a balanced person. Yeah. We're not in this for the short run here just to stop the anger about electronics. We're in this for the long term to help children develop some real character in life. That's what we want. You know, 1 Corinthians 6:12 says, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. The idea is we could spend a lot of time in electronics, but that doesn't mean it's beneficial. That same verse says, it says everything is permissible for me, but I don't want to be mastered by anything. Well, that fits really closely into what we're talking here. That's very important. I think when parents, there's a full tie to some principles that can apply to electronics, good things are going to happen for them.
That's really good. I love it. I think that's something that is going to be pretty powerful. So as we get closer to wrapping up here, as you were working on this and as you've been researching this, because I know you and I know that you don't take this kind of stuff lightly. You're not throwing this together. You're digging in behind the scenes and stuff. What are some things that maybe you were like, did you get anything that was like, wow, that's surprising? Or did you get any like, oh, that's an aha moment kind of thing? I'm just curious. And this is totally off script. I'm just throwing this at him. People, he has no idea I was asking in this. I'm just curious. My curiosity gets me because I'm one of those kids who grew up out playing in the woods, creating my own adventures because we didn't have the games to play. So my curiosity is always getting to me of, I'm just curious when you're looking at these kind of things and when you're studying this and researching, did something jump out at you or something that goes, that makes perfect sense of why we're seeing what we're seeing?
Yes. One of the things we see, and I'm realizing now more and more as a result of the study I did regarding this particular subject, is that disappointment is a major issue in children's lives. Wow. Disappointment, if I feel like that I want this, but I can't have it. And we're not just talking about electronics, just in life in general. If things aren't going my way, then I get upset. If things aren't going my way, then I nag my parents or I argue with them or I badger them or whatever. There's this problem of disappointment in our lives. I believe every child needs to have a plan for dealing with disappointment. That's one of the videos one of the sessions in this whole program is that children need to live within limits. And why do they need to learn to live within limits? Because if we can learn to live within limits with electronics, then it's doing something inside of us that's going to help us to have more emotional flexibility. We're going to also be able to live on a diet someday or on a budget someday because we can live within the limits. And many children use dishonesty to get around their parental controls or they're demanding of their parents and they just can't live within the limits. It's one of those very important things we teach children. And so there's a battle going on inside of our child's hearts. And parents, when they recognize, they step in and they say, okay, we're going to do something about this. The scriptures tell us in Titus 2:12 that salvation teaches us to say no to ungodliness and to live a self-controlled life. I think that applies to electronics, it applies to so many different things.
Yeah, and it sure does.
Well, within limits is not only parents saying no, but children need to say no themselves to things so that they're not crossing the boundaries or going across lines that are inappropriate. Rarely does a child have the internal strength to deal with electronics today. They need more parental control. We talk one whole session about controls, whether it's the parental controls that are electronic controls or the just hand me your cell phone, kind of the physical controls we say to a child. Children need that. When a child doesn't have self-control, they need parental control. Parents need to know what that looks like and how to implement it. So this whole idea of disappointment became so real to me. As I experience preschoolers who get upset and also teenagers who get upset, just all through the whole process. Just one more thought I was just thinking.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, comfort is one of the greatest things parents can give to their kids. But I saw this girl, 6 years old, running down the road and she tripped and I think she was on a scooter or something. She tripped in and she skinned her knee. And mom goes running over there and I hear her saying, I want my iPad. In other words, her comfort was the iPad. That's what did I hear her correctly?
Wow. And
yes, she said, yes, I want my iPad. I'm going, wow, that's right. The comfort. It becomes this comfort. Do you know, just imagine this. The way God designed our world is that when there's quiet time and it's downtime, then we have that opportunity to be at peace. That's just how God designed our hearts and lives. That's not true when you're addicted to electronics. When there's downtime, you pull out your phone. How many people sit at a red light?
Yes.
And they've got some downtime right away. They don't feel comfortable. They pull out I got to have something to do. So they pull out their phone, check things. And now the light turned green, yellow, and I got to get out of here. That's true for children too. A child can't experience peace sometimes because they've got to have that next indication of what's going on their game they're playing or in their social media or whatever. So yeah, that's electronics addiction. It's tough. It's hard and our children fall into that pattern, but it's difficult.
Yeah. Wow. I'm glad I asked that question because I hadn't thought about disappointment being something didn't cross my mind, honestly. And so, I learned something right there. I find it interesting. We have a local school district here in Ohio that has been testing that, and it's a middle school, high school, that they are making the students put their phones in a pouch that is electronically sealed, and it can only be opened with this special device that the administration has. And so when they walk into school, it gets dropped in and they lock. And of course there's debate, pros and cons. There's been a lot of debate, but I was listening. It was actually a news report the night before we're recording this, that they were talking about this school and how the administration, one of the problems was kids fighting and recording fights. That was becoming a huge problem in their high school. And kids wanted to go viral for, you know, throwing these things up there. That had dropped they're not seeing it on social media anymore because the students don't have their phones. But the teachers have said test grades have increased. Discussion and talking in the room among students has increased. They are seeing all the positives of locking these things down during the school day. And so it's going to be interesting. So I wondered how many of these kids are battling with, you know, disappointment and fear and anxiety because they don't have the ability to look at their phone when there's downtime. Because I admit, I probably pick my phone. In fact, I have that little screen reminder that tells me how often I've picked up my phone. And I'm always, my challenge is to make it drop every week. And some weeks it does good. Some weeks I'm not doing so well.
Yeah, children, parents report that their kids we see some blooming of children when parents limit or remove electronics for a period of time. Kids start talking to their siblings and they're interacting more as a big one that we see. And then the responsibility picture is pretty important here because children are often opting out of their responsibilities. And so that picks up a little bit more when children aren't so distracted by electronics. So we have to balance all of this, but it's an important area parents and children can work together to learn how to manage electronics in this technological age that we live in.
Yeah. So Technology Wellness at Home is going to be available in May of 2024. Where can people go to get more information on it?
Go to biblicalparenting.org, our website, and right at the top there, there's an option for people to learn more about it and get involved in it. If they're getting it before, finding information before it's released, they can get the pre-release price if they want to purchase it. If it's afterward, then there's the release price that people can, but it takes you all to everything you want. At biblicalparenting.org, you can click on the link there, and it'll take you right where you need to be.
Awesome. And you can find all of the other resources. If you want to learn more about the different workshops that Scott can do in person or have a trainer that he's trained, come to your church and do it. There's lots of options and lots of tools. I definitely think, my friends, that you ought to check this out. And if you come across Scott at one of the kid ministry conferences, go check in his breakouts. They're always very informative and challenging for us. So Scott, thanks for making time for me today. I really appreciate the time of having you on the podcast again.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate it. I'm grateful to partner with you.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap up this episode of the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. And we hope that if you need anything, you'll reach out. Let me know. You can always email me at tom@tombump.com, or you can head over to kidsministrycollective.com. You'll find all the show notes and the podcast links from previous episodes there. And Scott's part of our Kid Ministry Collective Facebook group, so you're welcome to interact with him there as well, ask questions, check out his resources on his website. We'll put all that in the show notes. So thanks for listening, my friends, and stay tuned for another episode real soon. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. We hope that it's helped and encouraged you. If you would, support our podcast by continuing to share it with other leaders. And if you haven't already, hey, please subscribe and leave us a review wherever you listen to this podcast. We look forward to hearing from you how this podcast has helped and sharpened your skills and ministries. So let us know on your Facebook page or head over to kmccoach.net and share with us there. And thanks again for listening to the Kid Ministry Collective podcast.